When I interview children in detention, I try to sit close to them because we're talking about such sensitive and traumatic subjects. But with some of the children, I had trouble sitting near them because of the stench.
That's immigration attorney Alora Mukherjee. She spent last week talking to children in a Customs and Border Protection detention facility in Clint, Texas.
Many of the children have not been able to shower or bathe once since crossing the border, so I met with children who hadn't bathed for more than 3 weeks. None of the children have opportunities to change their clothes on a regular basis. Nearly every child I met with is wearing the same clothing that they crossed the border in, and their clothing is stained in bodily fluids. There's nasal mucus on their clothes. Breastfeeding teenage moms have shirts that are covered in breast milk stains. And very young children who aren't being given diapers as they need have urine on their pants. It is disgusting.
There are more than 300 children in the Clint CBP detention facility. Under a 1997 law known as the Flores Settlement, the government is supposed to provide the children with, quote, safe and sanitary conditions, and they are not supposed to hold migrant children for more than 72 hours. Mukherjee says that some children told her they had been in detention for weeks, and the conditions were anything but safe and sanitary.
The children do not have access to soap to wash their hands, and as a result, viruses are spreading very quickly through the facility. There is a flu outbreak. Children there are in quarantine. We begged repeatedly to get access to that quarantine, and officials denied us our numerous requests. The children are dirty, they're sick, they're being detained for long periods of time, and they're hungry.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. As thousands of migrant children remain in government detention, many Americans want to know how the U.S. immigration system reached this point and the work that needs to be done to improve conditions in detention centers across the country. To get context and history, I spoke with David Hernandez, an associate professor of Latino studies at Mount Holyoke College, and we were also joined by Alora Mukherjee, the lawyer who was part of a team that visited the children in Clint, Texas. She's also a professor and the director of the Immigrants' Rights Clinic at Columbia Law.
The sleeping conditions in the Clint facility are not appropriate for children. Many of the children don't even have mats to sleep on. There are no beds. They're sleeping on the concrete floors. At times, some of the children are given a thin blanket or sheet to sleep with. But as punishment, sometimes those blankets and sheets are taken away.
Punishment for what?
So on Wednesday evening, a member of our team learned that there were 20 girls in one holding cell and that two of the girls apparently had a lice infestation, and they were given two lice combs and told to comb everyone's hair, which you're not supposed to do with lice, right? You're not supposed to share combs, but they were told to share combs. Apparently, one of the combs became lost and the children couldn't find it. And as punishment for not being able to find the combs, the sheets, the blankets, and the mats that the children were supposed to be sleeping on were all taken away. And I should mention that it is extremely cold in many of these holding cells at night, and the children cannot sleep. Many of them have told me that they are so hungry, they wake up at night multiple times with hunger pangs.
Why are they not eating?
There is insufficient food for the children, and the quality of the food is not a good quality. Children are given the same food, regardless of if they're 1 year old or 17 years old. Everyone is provided with the same tray. And there are no fresh fruits, there are no vegetables, there's no milk, and there is no age-appropriate or caloric-appropriate assessment going on. So breastfeeding mothers who need extra calories to provide milk for their babies are being given the same amount of food as a 1 year old. A 2 year old is given the same size tray as a 17 year old.
legally, at least, Customs and Border Protection is not allowed to hold minors for longer than 72 hours. You're saying some of these minors have been there for 3 weeks without bathing or more. Did CBP respond to why these children were being held for longer than the legal limit?
CBP has not responded on that particular issue, as far as I know. But after the media story started breaking last Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend, CBP did issue a statement. And what is striking about CBP's statement is that they are not denying what the children have told us. What their statement says is that CBP is not designed to hold children for these long periods of time.
David, the 1997 Flores settlement was supposed to govern the treatment of migrant children in government custody. Let's talk a little bit about what conditions were like for migrant children before Flores.
I mean, Flores came out because of a case in the 1980s, and then it was litigated for a while. And in 1997, they settled and they decided that the best interest of the child and to try to process them out of these situations. But prior to that, they could either be mixed with adults in adult facilities. They could sit in offices, locked up in cubicles and offices while they were waiting. And so that there was a lot of change because of Flores. And then after 2014, when the family started coming together, I mean, Flores was originally for unaccompanied children. And then they started applying under Obama, and because of certain rulings, although they fought that, they started applying Flores to families as well. So children with their parents in detention would have limits to that detention as well. That's the 20-day limit in family detention. But I think the squalor that Professor Mukherjee is describing, and the lack of medical treatment, and the bungled medical treatment, and the indifference to the detainees, you know, that runs across the system. You know, that whether you're in CBP custody, whether you're in HHS custody, whether you're in ICE custody. This is an across the board condition for all these persons.
I want to pivot for a minute to a bit of a historical point, David. We know that one pivotal point for immigration policy here in the United States was after the wave of Haitian immigration in the 1970s. Can you help us understand what precedent that established for what we're seeing today?
I think the 70s and 80s, the Haitian case, along with Cubans, but especially with Haitians. Haitians were used as a sort of a laboratory to test out brand new policies, you know, including interdiction at sea, the use of mandatory detention, mass hearings, and then whatever rationale followed those, you know, supported those treatments. And so those very specific policies by the Carter and then Reagan administration, they are now the status quo policies nationally. And so those initial innovations became regularized policy that we consider normal today. And then they became ensconced in legislation in 1996 and after, and other policies of ICE and the INS before that.
And David, how did these immigration policies expand under Presidents Bush and subsequently President Obama?
I mean, as we know with Bush, we have 9/11, and then so there's a huge expansion and a new rationale in terms of anti-terrorism for detaining people. Central American migrants and Mexican migrants and people coming from Latin America, you know, generally aren't in that category, but the policies that restricted their rights and their access to relief from detention and deportation were used against supposed terrorists were also used against the everyday migrant as well. So that expanded greatly under Bush. You know, he had workplace raids. He began family detention. You know, he had a family detention facility in Texas, the Hutto facility, which eventually was ended under Obama. And then Obama, as we know, becomes the deporter in chief. You know, deporting 1,000 people a day, up to 400,000 people in 2012. And so, and along with every one of those persons, they were detained prior to that, largely. And so the detention expansion just ballooned, you know, because of that. But all that was set up by legally making that possible in 1996, and then innovating on that in the late 70s and early 80s.
I want to play a clip from a Department of Justice lawyer who argued before the Ninth Circuit about sleeping on concrete floors, not providing toothbrushes, et cetera. Let's take a listen.
It's within everybody's common understanding that, you know, if you don't have a toothbrush, if you don't have soap, if you don't have a blanket, it's not safe and sanitary. Wouldn't everybody agree to that? Do you agree to that?
Well, I think those are, there's fair reason to find that those things may be part of safe and sanitary?
Maybe are a part.
Laura, what does this argument tell us about where the federal government policy is right now?
The federal government's position, as demonstrated by that Ninth Circuit argument last week, is that children do not need toothbrushes, soap, places to sleep where they can actually get some rest. And this, the effect of that position is what we see in Clint. There is an emergency humanitarian and medical crisis there that is the direct result of the administration's inhumanity and degrading position with regard to children. And perhaps it comes as no surprise that over the past year, 7 children have died in federal immigration custody after almost a decade where no child was reported as dying while in the custody of Customs and Border Protection.
I was going to ask what the federal government needs to do to address overcrowding, but I almost want to say who will hold the United States government accountable for these, what appear to be violations of the Flores Agreement and or even human rights violations, quite frankly. Laura.
Many people have reached out to me concerned about the conditions in Clint since the story broke last week. I'm asking everyone to demand immediate congressional hearings on the appalling conditions at the border. I'm asking folks to please support nonprofit organizations that try to help meet the daily needs of those crossing the border, as well as provide free legal services to individuals. I'm asking that knowledge and awareness about this crisis be shared, because I think regardless of one's party affiliation or political background, we can all agree that children need to be taken care of in conditions that meet basic human decency. When Vice President Pence was interviewed yesterday on CNN, he was asked whether immigrant children deserve soap and toothbrushes while they are in these detention centers. And his response was, of course.
Laura Mukherjee is the director of the Immigrants' Right Clinic at Columbia Law, and David Hernandez is an associate professor of Latino Studies at Mount Holyoke College. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Takeaway reached out to Customs and Border Protection for comment on this story, and a CBP official sent us a response that said the agency uses what it described as, quote, limited resources to provide the best possible care for the people they detain, especially children. And they said these facilities were not meant to hold vulnerable populations long term, and they're calling on Congress to provide more funding. You can find the rest of their statement on our website, thetakeaway.org.